All right, well, good morning, and thank you for the introduction. As you said, I'm John Snyder. I'm a crop physiologist at the University of Georgia in Tifton. And I'd like to talk to you a little bit about cold acclimation and cotton seedlings. But before I do, I'd like to just start off by just saying some very general things. I think most of this is pretty straightforward and really well understood. We know a tremendous amount about low temperature effects. For example, chilling temperatures. We know that low temperature reduces photosynthetic rates, reduces seedling growth and survival. And we have quite a bit of information on the underlying processes that impact photosynthesis under low temperature conditions. So when we start looking for studies that have specifically characterized net photosynthetic acclimation to low temperature conditions, particularly in the seedling phase, then it gets, obviously finding a lot of this information, it's not as apparent. I could find some studies in cotton. There's a couple here that we have, for example, on growth and seedling survival, we have one paper, we have two papers by the same authors, and one of them says that cotton acclimates to low temperature, and the other one says that it doesn't. But the important thing there is that these authors in the one paper, they took cotton plants and pre-exposed them to 10 degrees C, which is already chilling temperatures, and then put them under colder temperature conditions, and so they didn't see this acclimation response. But then that follow-up study, they did see this, and in that situation, they pre-exposed those plants to basically what is our cool germ temperature, okay? So it's all about, how the level of stress that they were exposed to prior to putting them under these sub-freezing conditions. About 2 degrees C is what they did to, test the growth and survival. And again, there's a tremendous amount of, not just in the peer-reviewed literature, some of the best information and most easily digestible information. There's extension information on seedling growth, seedling development. But as far as the underlying physiological processes that are impacted or that acclimate to low temperature stress, kind of those weak links or the particular processes that actually change to make a plant more photosynthetically tolerant, I think there's still a tremendous amount of opportunity to improve our understanding. And then there's a few other papers here that I found that had cold acclimation and cotton in the title, but they really didn't demonstrate cold acclimation. They had, they measured changes in response to low temperature is what it came down to. All right, so to kind of answer this, whether these cotton seedlings photosynthetically acclimate to low temperature, basically I conducted this controlled environment study to answer that question and then to identify these underlying processes that might kind of be identify those weak links and identify where plants acclimate most and what contributes to this process as well. So to do this, it's a relatively simple study. Okay, I had one cultivar, I had two growth regimes. If you look at that 2015 day-night temperature regime, look at that average, that's right around our cool germ temperature there versus an optimal day-night temperature regime, okay? And you can see this is not surprising here. We have huge differences in plant height, dry weight, leaf area per plant, main stem nodes. But then to get at this acclimation response and determine whether we see acclimation in cotton, we took a subset of those plants that were grown under the different growth conditions and then put them in a separate chamber that was humidity controlled and then measured. We had to have humidity control or else we'd get condensation in the gas analyzer, of course, when you drop that temperature. One of the things I want to warn you guys about before I get going, if you look at the axis here, I can either start at the origin, start at zero and work my way to the right like I'm supposed to, or do it this way. So just be aware that this one is set up a little bit differently here. But this is decreasing temperature. The key thing here is that if you look at the dark circles, those are plants that were grown under low temperature conditions, and respiration was much more responsive to temperature than plants grown under optimal growth conditions. Okay, we also took these plants and measured a number of other processes like net photosynthesis, which was really the target of this study, and then 5PS2, electron transport rate, and gross photosynthesis. And so gross photosynthesis had to be calculated by adding the dark respiration rate to the net photosynthetic rate, so we could only extend that out to 10 degrees C there. But what I want to kind of illustrate here is that we were able to, for each leaf, we could then fit this temperature response to each parameter of interest. So this is basically our parameter of interest, let's say net photosynthesis here versus leaf temperature, okay? And I think in this situation, I flipped the axis, so again, just be aware of that. But what we did to kind of standardize this project, or standardize the process of determining, you know, cold temperature sensitivity, was we identified the temperature causing a 50% decline from the value that we observed at 30 degrees, okay? So we just standardized this measure for all of our parameters. So we could say this process is more sensitive to low temperature than that process, right? We could kind of partition out which of these were more sensitive, okay? And then if we do this, we can then analyze for the sensitivity of these different physiological processes. And so net photosynthesis, gross photosynthesis, very similar, not terribly surprising there in terms of their temperature sensitivity. This is T50 here on the y-axis, and this is the different parameters of interest. The interesting thing was that the light reactions under both, electron transport rate and 5PS2, you can see that they were both probably, they were the most temperature sensitive. So again, you have to remember, the higher this number, the more temperature sensitive that process is. And you can really see a change in respiration in response to growth environment here. Okay? Now, what about acclimation? So if we look at which processes actually change significantly in response to growth environment, or how cold tolerance changed in response to growth environment, what we see is this, okay? We see that in response to low temperature, we see a reduction in that threshold temperature, okay? So we see a shift in that threshold temperature for net photosynthesis. So that's evidence of acclimation and net photosynthesis. And then dark respiration, we can see, becomes more temperature sensitive. So again, this makes sense. If we have lower photosynthetic rates under low temperature, you know, we have lower dark respiration rates to kind of offset that. Okay, so again, it's a pretty interesting process to kind of identify which of these is the most sensitive. The other thing is, if you recall that previous slide, we had the electron transport rates. And if you look on there, that process, so electron transport through photosystem 2, was one of the most temperature-sensitive processes, okay? So I want to take those of you back, you know, who've taken your undergraduate plant physiology course, I'd like to kind of take you back there for a second. We can look at some of these key processes and identify which of them are negatively impacted or which of them are the most sensitive. So at first, we had the absorption of light by the antenna complex. We have the oxidation of P680 and the reduction of pheophyte and then QA. And by that point, we say that that light that was absorbed by the photosystem has been trapped. And I'm using these abbreviations for a reason, and I'll get to that in a moment. And then we have the efficiency with which an electron is transported between these photosystems. So this inner system electron transport chain. So this is electron transport. We can just abbreviate it like this. And then getting that electron from there to photosystem 1 end electron acceptors is the reduction step there. Okay. So the nice thing about this, and one of the big reasons that I'm using these abbreviations, and I have no intention of going through every abbreviation on here. I couldn't remember all of them even if I wanted to. But there's a relatively new fluorescence methodology that uses a very detailed analysis of a fluorescence measurement. And the nice thing with this, though, is that these measurements, they take about a second, okay? So if you want a quick measure of performance, they're very rapid, okay? So what we can do, though, is we can identify the efficiency of this electron or this trapping, for example. We can look at conservation of energy from absorption of that light all the way out to the reduction of, for example, NADPH, okay? So We have trapping, inter-system electron transport, reduction. And so what we did is we took leaves from these two different growth environments, exposed them to a range of temperatures, and measured different fluorescence parameters. So I've just illustrated a few here. I'm not going to spend a tremendous amount of time on this slide. What was interesting to note is we took this all the way down to 2 degrees C here. All right. Some processes didn't change that much in response to temperature. Some of them changed quite a bit. Others actually increased. But then what we did is return those leaf discs back to that 30 degree sample point. Everything was incubated for the same period of time. And we measured recovery, all right, to indicate any sort of lasting impairment to that particular process. And I'm just going to summarize it like this, just to keep it brief. I mean, we could go crazy with data up here. I feel like I already have. But just to kind of give an overview of this, if we're just looking at how all of these processes are affected by low temperature, the bottom line is nearly every single one of them is reduced by the low temperature environment. Okay, so as a tool to rapidly detect these changes, it's great if you're wanting to look at low temperature effects. Okay, if we want to look at the relative sensitivity, and I'll talk about this here momentarily, just go ahead and cover it now, this performance index total. I won't walk through all of this, but this is accounting for conservation of energy from absorption of that light all the way to the reduction of NADPH. So because all of these processes are incorporated, it's a much more sensitive parameter to detect stress. Okay? Followed by, so if we want to look at the actual links there in this process, that inter-system electron transport seems to be the next most sensitive process. So if we're wanting to talk about which of these processes, are most sensitive, that would be kind of the next step. And then you can look at trapping, and then reduction was the least low temperature sensitive. Okay, what about acclimation? When we return, for almost every parameter investigated, when we return those leaves that were grown under low temperature environments, even though the absolute value was higher, when we expose them to that decline in temperature and then return them back to the optimal temperature, almost every parameter recovered. Okay, so we do have pretty obvious acclimation of these processes as well. So with that, I don't know how much time I have, but okay. I wanted to leave a couple of minutes for questions for anybody who had them. It's quiet. Yeah. Low temperature. And so there, it's like anything else. I'll cite Wayne Ebelhair and talk about it being a dynamic system. But, you have low temperature effects, and then if you've got significant thrips pressure early on, right, and you've got slow growth, I mean, that compounds it even more. So for me to just give you, here's the definite answer up here, that would be, that'd be an oversimplification of it. But certainly we know for a fact that having less vigorous growth under these low temperatures does impact the level, the severity of, the negative impact of disease and thrips pressure and so on and so forth. So, it's not like the definitive answer maybe that you want, but that's how I see it.